In him was life, and that light was the light of men. Those who dwelt in darkness have seen a great light. The word of God is life. The word of God brings light. Experience the wisdom, presence, and the power of Jesus Christ through the ministry of his servant, Jonathan Lagan. Welcome to Pneumatech.
And talk to Jesus. Tell him to fix you. He heals the brokenhearted. Tell him to fix every part of your life that needs to be mended. Heal me of depression. Heal me of pain. Fix my heart. Help me to align to you. Help me to be open to you. Talk to him in just 2 minutes. Lord, here I am in your presence. Here I am in your presence. Shabarate ke la baharia sana. Shabrahate krete bohoso. Lord, fix me. Speak to him tonight. Lift your voice and talk to him. Prayer is everybody's responsibility. Open your mouth and talk to Jesus. Tell him to reach out to you tonight. Tell him to touch you. You need a healing in your body. You need a healing in your mind. Ask him. Ask him for a fresh anointing. Ask him to visit you again. Here I am in your presence. Do to me what you want. Here I am in your presence. Do to me what you want. I'm open before you, Lord. Do to me what you want. This is the place of encounters. Do to me what you want. This is the place where my life is changed. Do to me what you want. The place where I'm broken. Do to me what you want. This is the place where my life is changed. Do to me what you want. Shh. shabarate ke baraha sabrahate mekai. Sola bahate ke bariahate ma. Jesus. Shade mahatabahaga. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Open your mouth and pray some more. Pray in the spirit if you can. Ola hateke palariatanas. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and cry to him. Ask him for something fresh. He wants to hear you. Cry to him. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Fill this temple with your presence. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Fill this temple with your presence. We wait on you. Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. Oh Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. Lord, we wait. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Fill this temple with your presence. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Fill this temple with your presence. We wait on you. Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. Oh Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. Oh Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. Sing it to him. We wait on you. We wait on you. Oh Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. Oh Lord, we wait on you. We wait on you. Oh, no. Lord, fill us again. Quench the thirst of our souls. Help us tonight. David said, in a dry and thirsty land, let me see your power and glory as I've seen in your sanctuary. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, can we get to the word? So I'll share something briefly and then we'll pray. While we are praying, I'll be leading you to pray. The Spirit of God will minister to some people. So it's at some point it's going to be a prophetic service. Amen. Are you ready for that? All right. Romans chapter 8 from verse 1. What I want to share with you will help you to understand and develop your spiritual life. When you are born again, a new life has come into you. And that life is the life of the Spirit. And it is important for you to understand that life and know how to live with it. If you can understand who you are as a child of God and the life of God that is in you, and begin to tap into it, there are potentials in it that can help you succeed through life and help you live victoriously. So, I'm going to share something very simple but powerful that I want you to pay attention to and understand, and then we'll pray. I'm going to lead us to pray some prayers and then minister to a few people. Amen. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Father, we ask tonight that your word will come with wisdom, with grace, with power. We bring under subjection every spirit, every mindset, every force here in this place and on the airwaves into the obedience of Christ. And I ask that as the word goes forth, let there be a heavy supply of your Spirit and a release of your power in this place. In Jesus' name. So we are going to read this Romans chapter 8, maybe from verse 1. I wanted to read the whole chapter, but we'll just do from verse 1 to verse 16. Then I'll pick out some things and then we'll pray. Some of those things, we'll pray them into our life and God will break out here. Amen. Now please pardon me, I may sound tired because I am tired. I left here on Friday to Abuja for a program with some brethren. And to be honest with you, because you are my people, from Friday to now, I've not slept for more than 6 hours. Amen. So that's why I'm like this. Slept around 4:30 on Friday, on Saturday morning. Woke up 6:50. Went for the program. Came back. Finished the program, had sessions with people up until 11 in the night, and the rest is history, and we are here. And in the morning, more people again and again from there to the airport straight. Okay, we branched somewhere actually to pray for a family from there to the airport down and here. Amen. So physically, but God will move here today. Amen. Romans chapter 8 from verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, I didn't say that to tell you that I'm the biggest man of God. No, I'm just saying to tell you what some of our brethren drove through the night and came in. So they are also equally tired. Amen. But we had to come because there's something peculiar about this service. Do you believe that? By the end of this service, you'll be glad you came. In the name of Jesus Christ. Watch what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Condemnation comes as a result of sin. When you sin as an individual, of course, you know that every human being, God created in us what we call the conscience. Is that true? And I also want to apologize. I know we've entered the heat season, and because of that, we need to get more fans in the hall. So by the grace of God, next week we'll have enough fans so that the air can be good. Amen. So every human being has what you call a conscience. That conscience is what helps us to identify truth from false, or what is good from what is evil. Unbelievers have it, believers have it. But the difference between your conscience as a believer and the conscience of an unbeliever is this. When you are born again as a believer, your conscience is now more empowered than that of the unbeliever. Your conscience is more alive, more sensitive. So that's why when you do something wrong as a believer, your conscience will prick you much more than when you were an unbeliever. Unfortunately, for unbelievers, when they do something wrong, when they commit sin, a sense of guilt comes in. You have done something wrong, and because of that, you should pay for it. That's what guilt does. Guilt makes you feel you did something wrong and you need to pay for it. And after guilt comes condemnation. So, the devil makes you guilty of something you have done, even though he's the one that tempted you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that's the thing about the devil. He will tempt you to commit sin. You will commit the sin. Then he will step out and allow you to face the consequences. Or he will tempt you to commit the sin, and then he will now start blaming you. How many of you have been there when you do something wrong as a child of God, and then all of a sudden something inside of you makes you feel bad and tells you because of this thing that you have done, God is not happy with you. And God will not hear your prayer. How many of you have felt like that before? In fact, some people may struggle with their guilt for a whole day. Some for 2 days. In fact, the voice will make you feel you have to do something to earn God's forgiveness. That is the voice of guilt. And following it is condemnation. So you see, the person begins to feel bad about themselves. They begin to feel that they will not be able to do anything good. They begin to feel that, well, there's no hope for me. This is how bad I will be and how bad I will continue. And as common as what I'm saying is, that's what many of us go through. In fact, there are many of you who have been born again for a long time, but you still struggle with guilt and condemnation. So guilt and condemnation makes you know that for this wrong thing that you have done, you need to pay for it. You need to be punished. In fact, have you heard people who say, the reason why I'm broke, or the reason why I'm sick, is because God is punishing me for what I did? Have you heard people say that? Let me tell you the honest truth from scripture. God, and this will blow your mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? for every child of God, God will not punish you because you did something wrong. What happens is, what you did has, according to the law of cause and effect, has consequences. You are merely facing the consequences of what you did. God is not responsible. God set laws to govern the earth. And so if you default those laws, you will be met with the consequences. If you obey or align with those laws, you'll be met with benefits. For instance, there's a law of gravity that pulls everything to the center of the earth. Is that true? Now, if you decide not to cooperate with that law and you climb a four-story building and jump from there in the name of I'm an apostle, what will happen to you? You will crash. Now, you disobeyed a law that says that every object or everybody is pulled by this force to the center of the earth. That's the reason why you are not falling down when you are standing. That's the reason why when you sit down, you are not tilting over. The reason is because of that law. So the law was meant to protect you and help you live. If there was no law of gravity, imagine what will happen. Everybody will be walking on the air. You'll be struggling to touch the ground. When they give you food, it will be war to eat the food. Imagine that. Your hand. Then when you pick the food will go up. Then you start following it with your mouth. Is that true? So you see, God set that law to help us live on earth. But if you disobey the law and jump from a four-story building, you would crash. Is it God that is punishing you? Laws are simply working. God does not punish believers because they sin. No. God is not happy when we sin. But understand that there was a provision made for us to tap into the mercy of God. That provision is through the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7 that in him we have redemption through his blood, which is the forgiveness of sin. So even though God is not happy that you have sinned, God has made available provision for you to. God has made available provision for you to tap into his mercy. Clear off the guilt that is on you and know that God is not mad at you. So back to Romans chapter 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation means you sin. And so you must pay for it. And Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. That means that when you sin naturally, you should be faced with death. In fact, in the Old Testament, there were laws that God gave them that once those laws were defaulted, the corresponding action should be, they should be stoned. Take time to read Leviticus. I know you don't like that part of the Bible. Me too, I don't. In fact, if I'm reading to that point on my device, I put it on audio Bible. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But if you take time to read Leviticus very well, or Exodus, Leviticus, and you see the kind of laws that are there, that if they default, he will say, stone this one. If they do this, stone this one. You realize that if God has not made the provision for salvation, we are all doomed by sin. Now, see, to commit sin is one thing. To live under the nature of sin is entirely another thing. You see, under the old covenant, when they commit a sin, there is a sacrifice that they must make for atonement. This sacrifice does not take away the sin. The sacrifice only, hear this, the sacrifice only takes away the guilt for that sin. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the sin is still there. God is still not happy that they sin. But he takes away the guilt so that the person will not feel that God is mad at me because I sin. But it doesn't take away sin. Number two, it doesn't take away the nature of sin in you. The nature of sin in you is the reason why even when you say I no go do am again, you will go back and do it three more times. Is that true? Many of us, when we were small, you were used to offending again and again. Some of you were very stubborn, if not for God, that has packaged you like this. Amen. I remember one time, there was a gentleman who was living in our house one time. You know, my father was a pastor, and all through his pastoral ministry, he was into a lot of healing, deliverance, prayer, and all of that. So, children who were possessed, they would bring them to our house. Amen. It's nothing like living near hell. So I remember there was this guy they brought, and they will be there until they are delivered. Amen. So that's why you say, I'm not afraid of demons again, even from small. So I remember this guy who was there, and somehow he will not, I think he was initiated into witchcraft, and somehow he will not get delivered or something like that. So I don't know what happened. I don't know the story, but I just know that one Sunday morning, my dad was angry and he took kerosene. I was going to kill him. So they took the guy to the bathroom, and I heard the guy shouting in Hausa, Daddy, Daddy, Berin Sake Iba. What does that mean? Uh-huh. Now, some of you are like that. You were like that when you were small. That thing that you say you not do, you do it seven times before the seventh day. Is that true? The reason is because there was a nature of sin. So when we were not born again, we were not only committing sin, we were slaves to sin. There was a nature in us. No matter how good we are, that nature condemns us. That nature will always make you know that you can never be 100%. This feeling of imperfection that is in every human being is courtesy of the nature of sin. Are you hearing me? Uh-huh. But the Bible says that there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So when you become born again, that condemnation thing is dealt with. But there's a condition to it. The condition is that it's not just because you are born again alone. The condition is not just because you, by the blood of Jesus, your sins have been wiped away. The condition that you will not suffer condemnation in your heart is that you walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. And this is why I want you to really listen. You know, you have been laughing, but I want you to catch the point. Go back to that scripture. There is therefore now no condemnation. The condemnation is that feeling of guilt, that feeling of imperfection, that feeling I'm always messing up, that feeling I can never be good enough, that feeling I can never get it right. God, I don't know whether God is unhappy with me or happy with me. I don't know if I die, whether I'll go to heaven or hell. I'm just there. That feeling is condemnation. The Bible says that there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, on the condition that you do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. Now, when the Bible says walk according to the flesh, it's not talking about tefia, walk. It's talking about life, your manner of life, how you live. That's the reason why many people are born again, but they still suffer from condemnation. Yes or no? Talk to me now. God, I'm broke because I disobeyed God yesterday, so God is punishing me. A believer will say, God, lock my finances. If God locks your finances, maybe you want to go and carry woman and God likes you enough. Listen, God's restraint on our life, you need to understand the God we serve. God is so gentle, the Holy Spirit is so gentle that he doesn't just restrain everybody. God's restraint on people is based on how submitted they are to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just because you are born again doesn't mean, God is not a tyrant. God is not that kind. It's not like your father. I make bold to say that God is not like your biological father. God is so gentle that he made sure that you were saved. But you can be saved and still live as if you don't know God, because it will take you to submit to him for him to have restraint on your life, or for him to do anything in your life. To those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. So here are two people. One is born again. He's in Christ Jesus, but he's walking in the flesh. What does that mean? When I say walk in the flesh, this flesh, this your body, has a life of its own. The life of this your body is in the blood. Watch this. This body has feelings. It has desires. And it is through its desires, it wants you to conform to its desires and create a manner of life for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so you can decide to yield to the body. For instance, the desires of the body is such that when it wants something, you must stop and suspend every other thing and feed it. This body does not believe in self-control. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the life of the flesh is you living susceptible to the desires of this body. But the life of the spirit is you living susceptible to the desires of the spirit of God that is in you. So the reason why you can live as a believer without the feeling of condemnation is not just because you are born again. You can be born again and still suffer from it. Listen, there are many of you that have relatives you don't know. Is it true? So when you are born again, you are God's relative. But you can be born again and you don't know God. You can be born again and still live in sin. You are born again, but you are still living in sin. You can be born again and still struggle to be perfect, struggle to do this, struggle to do that, still feel condemned within you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In fact, I know believers, you will be shocked to hear this, but I know believers that when they commit sin, they will have to fast for 3 days and feel that God has heard them. It's after the 3 days that God has heard them. Now, I'm not in any way trying to encourage people to live anyhow. No. We'll go down. We're talking about life in the spirit. But listen, forgiveness is not rocket science. God knew that because of the nature of the flesh, we will be once and again susceptible to it. We will fall to it again and again. So he made the provision for our forgiveness even before we became born again. So it's as simple as when you commit a sin, you turn to God and ask him for forgiveness. And as you are asking, you have received it. Now, the Bible says in Psalms 103 verse 3, who forgives your iniquities and heals your diseases? And my interpretation to that scripture is the same power that forgives your sin is the same power that brings healing to your body. So if forgiveness of sin is automatic, as you are saying, Father, have mercy, you know he has forgiven you. It's the same way when you say, Father, heal me, the healing has started already. Oh, you didn't get that one. Well, if you did, then you will now see how it is easy to tap into God's healing power and every other measure that comes with it. So, it is only to those who walk in the Spirit that you find no condemnation. I want to show you something more about condemnation. Now let's enter into issues about deliverance and spiritual warfare. We are still on Romans chapter 8 verse 1. You know, God works with laws. God, can you ask God for understanding? Because I feel that some of you, I don't want you to miss what I'm about to say. In 1 minute, ask God for understanding. Please pray. Please pray. Ask him for understanding. Sobrata barakate kabasia. Mambre teke loko braska palagada. Krisko polo rosete di bahasia. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. Another form of condemnation is this. The reason for curses in families, the reason for afflictions in families, the reason for patterns. A pattern is a tailor-made event or a sequence. For instance, if I'm talking about a pattern in a family, I'm talking about a satanic sequence, a satanic series. You find the same thing happening, though in different ways, but the same. For instance, a pattern of affliction. You will notice that people in this family always fall sick. They are always having health issues. It's like one person gets healed and the other person takes his place all through the year. Then you can also find a pattern of poverty and lack. There are families where nobody can boast of being a millionaire. Anybody that tries to rise to that point, something happened. And these are natural circumstances. But behind the scene, there are spirits responsible for it to ensure that they return back to that threshold of lack. This is what we mean by patterns. And I think as a ministry, we have done a lot of teaching on deliverance that I will encourage you to go and listen again and again. And most times it becomes frustrating when you are looking at a family where 90%, if not 100%, are born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. They all pray in tongues. They fast. They love God. They give. Is there anything you are looking for again? But you still find the signature of the devil in that family. Have you seen that before? But the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation. Meaning that anything the devil is bringing on them, the moment they are in Christ, is not supposed to be to hold sway again. But they are in Christ and you still see them suffer from things that the enemy is responsible for. When sin came into the world, every other evil came with it. The Bible says through one man, sin entered the world and death reigned through sin. Death there first of all means being separated from God. That because man has been separated from the life of God, the nature of God that should make man do right is no longer in man. So anything man does is evil. And that's what God said in Genesis, in chapter 6. He said, for the imaginations of the heart of man is evil. So every other evil you see came as a result of sin. Now if a person is in Christ Jesus, sin has been dealt with. But why do they still suffer from the things that came with sin? Like sickness, like poverty, like witchcraft, like demonic oppression. All of those things are the baggage of sin. All of those things have found their expression in human beings because of sin. So sin has been dealt with, but why do you still find those things? If it is true that there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you following me? Because you see, a lot of people... And when you see me talk like this, sincerely speaking, is because we meet people with different kinds of problems every day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Imagine when you meet somebody who lives a life of fasting and prayer consistently, but it looks like the more they fast and pray, the more they are bound. Then here is their neighbor who is not even serious with God, but is prospering. So what's the problem there? What is wrong there? Is your eyes getting open now? The reason for that is because even though they are in Christ Jesus and there should no longer be a condemnation on them, satanic patterns should not hold sway again. Demonic oppression should not hold again. A believer will leave service, go back home, sleep, and they will come and press the believer in the night. You will see believers in the hospital sick, diagnosed of terminal diseases. Powerful believers that confess the word, filled with the Holy Ghost, but they still die in their sickness.
it still looks like they are under the shackles of the enemy, even though they are serving a God who has defeated the enemy. And now that they are in Christ Jesus, there is an injunction, there is a law. Listen, it's just like, for instance, if you go to a police station, they say bail is free. But has it ever been free? For those of you who have happened to visit there, say amen. Because me, I've never visited a police station in my life. I just passed. They say that's police station. And you will not visit police station in Jesus' name. But for those of you who have visited one way or the other, when you enter, there are two things. And I love the Nigerian police, okay? They are doing a great job. There may be some bad eggs, but they are good. I know you want me to say what's in your heart, but I can't say it because I'm online. Amen. And I don't want to say it, not because I'm afraid they will come. It's because we love country. Okay? It's not only in Nigeria where you have bad police, though. There are also bad police in other places. When you enter a police station in Nigeria, there are two lies you will see on the wall there. Beware of those lies. Number one is your friend. All right. That thing, it will be there while they are beating you very well in the cell. I remember we were traveling years ago, 2011, from Abuja to Jalingo for a wedding. And we had an accident. Our vehicle hit some, I think he was going with speed and hit a vehicle and then another vehicle and some bikes. So a lot of, some casualties, some people and all of that. So it took us to, no, they didn't take us to police station. We left, but the police came, took the driver and some other people. The next day, when we call our driver, we call to talk with our driver, know how he's doing. This is somebody who had an active voice. The voice had become humble, like the voice of God. So there are two lies you see when you enter a police station. Lie number one. Lie number two. But you go pay. Is that true? But it's written, bail is free. Just the way it is written, there is therefore now no condemnation. But you are seeing Christians in condemnation. Some of you, as you are laughing and looking at me, sincerely speaking, that's why we came here. As we pray today, some things need to leave your life, because your life is looking the opposite of what it should be like in Christ Jesus. Is that true? Don't mind that I'm talking calm like this. So I'm opening stuff here. That Romans chapter 8 is like a law that is written, but there is a condition for enforcing the reality there. That you live a life without condemnation, that you live a life free from the oppression of the enemy. The Bible says the condition is that you must not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. So if Satan entered a family, maybe because he was invited, how can Satan be invited in a family when people live according to the flesh? When people embrace sin, I'm not saying commit, they live it normally. When you find a young lady who sees nothing wrong in spending a night in her boyfriend's house, when there is no line again to draw to know that which is good and that which is evil, that which is right and that which is wrong. When we embrace sin, when we don't, we look at our core values as believers, even in celebrations, we adopt celebration principles that are unchristian-like. Oh, I'm entering you now, huh? You see a child of God, a lady, she's a child of God, no problem. Tongue speaking. And it's really those ones that speak in tongues the most too. But the day of our wedding, go and look at the wedding gown. You will see the wedding gown. And they see nothing wrong with that. By the time you are a child of God, but your life is showing that of the world, and you see nothing wrong in it, you are not living according to the spirit, you are living according to the flesh. And it means that there will still be condemnation against you, even though you are in Christ Jesus. Because you must walk according to the spirit. Why? For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. So this oppression you are going through, this bondage you are going through, is there because sin is in your life. Now that you are born again and sin has been dealt with, for that oppression to be removed, for that condemnation to be removed, you need to submit to a higher law. It's like law counter law. Just because you are in Christ Jesus doesn't mean that you live lawless. You now see why people are in Christ Jesus, but they still suffer under the oppression of the enemy. It's because being in Christ does not mean you are now free from law. No, you just left one law to another law. If there is a law called gravity that pulls everything to the earth, why do aeroplanes fly? How do aeroplanes fly? You jump, it pulls you down. Your car jumps, it will pull it down. But if an aeroplane jumps, it goes up. In fact, the plane I entered when I was coming today, usually when you enter a larger aircraft, if it is taking off, don't worry, some of you enter there. Somebody told me that she entered, the first time she entered, I think the first time she entered a plane or something, that when they were taking off, there was an elderly man who was at the back. He started shouting. He called Jesus and called all the gods in his village. Then they realized it was his first time. He said that the plane will fall. The plane will fall. The reason is because, watch this. The plane, if you use a larger aircraft, as soon as you take off, there is something they call drag. There is a force called drag that pulls the plane down. But there is another force called lift that the engine of the plane engages to overcome drag and go up. So when a larger plane takes off, it still struggles with the law that is trying to bring it down, because it is initiating a higher law, but it just keeps going to a point where it remains on the air and begins to cruise. Now that's how your life is as a believer. So when you come into Christ, there is a law called the law of sin and death that you have been set free from. But because that law came into the world, it came into man because man sinned, that law is attached to our body. So in your spirit, you are born again and you are free from the law of sin and death. But your body has the law of sin with it. So the law will act, it will rest, it will oppress, it will take advantage of you because your body is prone to the law of sin and death. So in your spirit, there is a higher law operating. But in your body, your physical life, there is another law operating. So you are like that plane that is trying to ascend. That's why you are on fire today. Then tomorrow, you return back to your boyfriend's house for a weekend. And you even cook stew, red stew for him. Amen. Why are you laughing? You really cook the stew, huh? Because when we begin to pray, we are going to activate some laws here. So the Bible says the only way you can be free from the law of sin and death, in your spirit, you are free from it. But you see, your spirit needs your body to live on earth. Then Satan said, no problem. Share that your body will use live on this earth. That body is submitted to my law of sin and death. So your spirit wants to pray, but your body says it's time to sleep. But if you decide not to pray and go to sleep, your body will now open phone and watch for 2 hours. What? Are you quiet? Has it happened to you before? You didn't sleep till 12 o'clock and 12 is your prayer time. Your alarm ring. But you are tired. You need to sleep. Then you decide, I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to pray. I will sleep. You go into the room and lie down. And by 2 a.m., you are still awake. You see, the thing with this body, the moment you say, I won't pray, I won't obey the spirit, I will obey the flesh now. That means you really didn't want to sleep. It was a law that was working through your body. So, but being in Christ Jesus, for you to dominate the law of sin and death that works in your body, you need to submit to the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So you are in Christ Jesus, but there is a government, there is a law, a legal system that you need to submit to. Come under the jurisdiction of that government so that this other law working and manipulating through your body cannot get you. Because if you don't submit to this law, this one will get you. It's called the law of the spirit of life. So the spirit of God activates a life in us. That life has a law that you must abide by. That's the reason why you will never hear the Holy Spirit tell you, please pray. No. He will tell you, pray now. Watch this. When I left, I'd been praying since morning. All the people I was counseling, I was praying while I was there. Till 10 when I got to the airport, I was still praying. I got to the plane, I was still praying. I wanted to read the Bible. No. I wanted to prepare the sermon for today. No. There was this urge to keep praying. As we ascended into the sky, the urge became stronger. My eyes started closing. So, boy, you don't tire. You need to rest. The law of sin and death. Say, no. Your body needs rest now. Rest. Can I tell you something? Just about 20 or 30 minutes into the flight, we hit a turbulence and the plane dropped. No, you know when a turbulence is, it will shake. This one, it dropped, it descended. You don't know what it means to be there and the plane shake. It shake. Just shake. Some of you deny Jesus and collect him back. This is not road accident, too, where you bust through the window and land on somebody's farm. No, this is 33,000 feet in the air. The biggest skyscraper is looking like a small dot. You can die before you hit the ground. The plane dropped. Everybody woke up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And in that, hey, you will hear all kinds of things. So, in the plane, once the plane shakes, you will hear all kinds. Now, I'm just bringing this story. Of course, I've traveled several times, but I'm just bringing this story to illustrate something. I saw a video one time of a plane that took off and the engine caught fire. I think it happened here in Maiduguri or so. Somebody did the video in the moment. Come and hear all kinds of names. I had Jesus. They had different syllables for calling Jesus. Somebody was shouting, I shall not die. I shall not die. Somebody said, God of so and so. They say, hey. Who knows whether the enemy had planned a plane crash? I hope you know plane crashes are happening now. What if I was never supposed to land from that plane? But the law of the spirit of life saw that evil hours before and kept me praying. Even if I didn't understand while I was praying. The woman seated beside me was a Muslim. She woke up, removed her veil. The thing shook again. I just sat down. Shebi Ade here, we go land. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. When you understand and conform to that law, you walk around with a sense of entitlement. You walk around with a sense, with a mindset of exemption, that evil can happen, but I will be exempted. Guess what? That prayer didn't stop. I kept praying in the car, kept praying till I went home. When I got home, I would have removed my clothes to rest. The Spirit said, keep praying. I laid on the ground, because this is somebody who has not slept for more than 6 hours in 2 days. I was tired. I laid on the ground with my back. I was praying. And then I heard a loud voice. And he called the name of somebody that I know. On my way to the airport, I went by the person's house to pray for the person and his wife and his child, that they are doing the naming ceremony today. And I heard a loud voice say, pray for him, accident. And I saw a car spinning. So I took my phone and called him. Guess what? He was just coming out of the bathroom. Then he picked the phone. He told me, as he picked the phone, I said, you are preserved. No accident. You know what he told me? He said, Daddy, I'm just coming out from the bathroom now, and I had a vision that I had an accident. He's there. I'm here. Many of you, your families would have been delivered by now if you moved that night to pray when the Holy Ghost told you to pray. If you that night he said, stand up and pray for 30 minutes. An affliction of 40 years would have been ended. So every time you yield to the flesh and its law, you are brought under the oppression of sin and death. But every time you yield to the Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life, you are free from it. So there is therefore no condemnation, not just because you are in Christ Jesus, but when you walk after the Spirit. Now, I ask you a question before we pray. Are you walking in the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Somebody will tell you, I've been a child of God since 1989. I was born again and baptized in 1988. My question is, from that 1988 till now, how many years have you been living in the flesh? Because people think it's how long you have been a Christian. It's not how long. To them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after. So they can be in Christ Jesus, and if they are walking according to the flesh, they are condemned already. They are under bondage already. They are prone to satanic attack already. The devil can mess with their finance again and again already. They can be paying tithe and still be tied. You know why? They are paying tithe because they have a mental understanding of it. But their life does not show a life that is conformed to the Spirit. You have not grown to the point where the Holy Ghost can control you. You have not willfully submitted yourself to His will, that He can tell you when to stand up and when to move and when to sit down. Somebody can insult you and he tells you, keep your mouth shut, and you are quiet. You have what to reply, but you are quiet. Because silence does not mean you don't know what to say. So if you find Christians struggling with sin, struggling with condemnation, struggling with satanic oppression, they are in Christ Jesus. But the reason why that verse is not working for them is because they are living according to the flesh. And life in the Spirit is a daily walk. Every day you must learn to submit to the will of the Spirit. Listen, it's not rocket science. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The moment you become born again, you have been activated to hear the voice of the Spirit. You will know naturally. Your conscience would help you discern that this thing you are hearing within you, you know, it's like you are hearing it, but it's inside of you. It's talking from inside. It's the voice of your Father. It's the voice of God. Your conscience will let you know that I need to do this. I need to follow this voice. But how many times do you follow that voice to be obedient to the Spirit? For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. So the reason why men can attain freedom, unquestionable freedom from witchcraft attack, from satanic torment, from satanic oppression. And I tell you the truth, as a pastor, there are things I see on a daily basis. Sometimes even you don't even know whether you can pray. There was somebody I was supposed to pray for, having a lot of challenges here and there. I was sharing the testimony, the story with our accountant today. Challenges here and there. I've never met him before. And then called him in the week. I said, okay, I'm going to Abuja. Meet me in Abuja. You're in Kaduna, meet me in Abuja. Your wife is in Abuja, meet me there. And then I'll see you and pray with you. Somehow he arrived. I told him, I'll see you on Sunday, because I have program. But if you can follow me to the program, no problem. He didn't come for the program, no problem. Sunday, around 4, 5 thereabout, I sent him a text. In response to his text, I say, I'll see you by 8. This is where I am. 8 o'clock, ba? I waited for call, no call. I waited for text message, no text message. 10:15, I was in the airport. That's when I got a call. Sir, we are here. No, don't say. Immediately, I knew that there were forces fighting this person. Naturally, you want to shout on them. Why are you just coming out? No, oh God, they are mature people. They are adults. They know what to do. If you see an adult who knows what to do, misbehaving, he's under some influence. Even if it's a mindset, there is a spirit regulating that mindset to keep him bound. I didn't shout. I knew something was wrong. And that was when I now confirmed that, yes, this guy needs deliverance. But thank God I had somebody there. So I called him. I said, okay. He said he's supposed to leave for Kaduna by 12. Train. I said, okay. Where is your... Then the spirit said, I should ask him which train station. Because in Abuja, there are different train stations. So I asked him, which train station are you leaving through? He said, Kubwa. Now, the friend of mine that I wanted to pray for him, that just met me in my hotel hours before, stays in Kubwa. So I called the man, I said, please sir, where are you? He said, I'm back home in Kubwa. So I called this one, I said, go to Kubwa, I will send you a contact of somebody, go, and he will pray for you, and that will be the end. And I believe that he's free. But look at the hurdles he had to cross to get to where I was. And I've seen people that anytime God is bringing them close to their place of deliverance, all kinds of things will begin to happen to manipulate them out. Imagine a family where nobody has a job for a long time. Then somebody, by the mercy of God, after one miracle service, they have that job. And then the day they are going for the job, maybe a job interview, that's the day that their shoe, rat ate the shoe. As they are coming out, they trip and fall over and they have to go and change the clothes. Time they go. Don't just laugh. Look, examine your life as I'm talking. That's the day. Now, Pep, that they used to see every day. Tricycle, moving every day. That's the day that the road will be empty. Why? We are fasting. Have you not been fasting every other day? Until the person goes late for the interview. Sometimes it's not their fault. There are forces. And the reason for that may be because they may still be walking according to the flesh, not according to the spirit. Because for you to be free of sin completely and to be free of the hold of the enemy that comes with sin, you must come under subjection to the life of the spirit. You must allow him regulate you. You must be a slave to that life. If you have a family where there is heavy witchcraft or heavy satanic pattern, listen, just standing up one day and praying in tongues for 2 hours will not solve it. Yes, of course, Jesus is powerful. Somebody asked me last night, say, why can't God just come and deliver the family? I say, man, it's true. God can actually deliver the family. But you see, the thing is, God is a just God. He has systems he has put in place. And when the devil, knowing that God is just, even to uphold his systems. The devil knows how to come in alignment with the laws of God to fight you. And then it looks like God cannot do anything. Not that God cannot do anything, but he has positioned himself in the systems of God in such a way that he is right. Let me give you an example. Sin opens the door for satanic oppression. It is true. So if the devil wants to bring you under satanic oppression and you are a believer, he knows there is therefore now no condemnation. He knows that as a believer, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers, isn't it? So for as long as you remain seated and you are conscious of that reality, you are far from his reach. So what he will try to do is manipulate you in your understanding or in your manner of life to leave that seat and come down. How do I explain this thing now? I'm looking for an analogy to explain it. Okay, I went to stay somewhere. I traveled somewhere, and the place I was staying was a military environment. A high-class military environment. A high-class is senior officers that stay there. Stars. If you don't have stars, you don't stay there. And the vehicle that took me there was a staff car. So anytime we are entering, they don't even check us. We just drive in. They will salute. One time we were driving out, they saluted. And I was there with my t-shirt. We passed. Now, I would have thought that it is me they are saluting. Until one day I went to barb my hair somewhere. And the staff car was not available to carry me. Then a civilian brought his car to carry me. That was when I knew that there were checkpoints to that place. They stopped us the first place. Who are you? Where are you going to? Even when I had explained that I'm staying with my friend who is so and so there, they say, please, sir, you're welcome, sir, but please, can you call him? Can you place a call to that house? So if I wanted to avoid that thing, I need to be driving in the staff car, isn't it? If you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, you need to live in that consciousness and live a life submitted to the Holy Spirit so that in reality you can remain there far above the devil's reach. Otherwise, in the spirit, you are seated there. But since in the natural, you've decided to compromise with the flesh, compromise with sin, naturally, you are no longer seated there. You have brought yourself down to the dust so the devil can ride you. Ye are gods and children of the Most High, but you shall die like mere men and fall like one of the princes. Why? They know not, neither do they understand. So if you are in Christ Jesus, you are one with him who is the head over principalities and powers. You are seated with him in heavenly places. You have all authority and power given to you. But your life will still look like a joke if you don't understand the efficacy of that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For instance, as a child of God that is in Christ Jesus, spiritual warfare for you is not fighting to get victory. It's establishing your victory. But if you don't have an understanding of this truth, when you are fighting spiritual warfare, you will fight as if you are struggling with the devil. There will be no confidence in you. Many of us pray prayers of frustration. And that's the reason why we don't see results. And that's because we don't pray with the understanding of who we are. That yes, this is the problem. Yes, that is the problem. Yes, the enemy is responsible for this. But you are coming to the enemy not to negotiate your freedom, but you are coming to establish to his senses, in case he doesn't have sense, that Jesus took care of this thing thousands of years ago. And so it's like saying, give me back my stuff. So when we stand up to begin to pray, and I'm leading you to pray, I want you to pray with a sense of entitlement. Like, this is mine and I'm collecting it by force. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when you are praying for favor, you don't pray for favor begging God. No. You pray as a son that has access and right to all that the father has. The Bible says if he did not spare his son, but sent him to die for our sake, how much more shall he not with him freely give us all things? If he has given us the son, he has given us everything, including favor, including lifting, including speed. That means anything you think you are looking for is also looking for you, because it is yours in the kingdom. So when you stand to pray, you pray with somebody that has authority. Is that not what they said about Jesus? Anytime he taught, they would say he taught differently, not like the scribe, but as one that had authority. That's why apostle will pray and it will happen, but you pray and nothing happens. It's the same name of Jesus, but the difference is in understanding. Are you ready to pray? Because this night we are going to reverse certain things. By the way, while I was praying all that, I could sense a lot of satanic onslaughts and arrows of the enemy. Now I want us to cancel it now. That you are in Christ Jesus does not mean that you are free from attacks. Attacks will still come. But you are in Christ Jesus, living according to the Spirit, so that you can see the attack before it comes. As a matter of fact, this is what the prophetic is. While the devil is still planning it, God shows you and then you counter it. That's why I say no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Verse 16 of that chapter says, I have created the blacksmith that blows the coals of the fire and the destroyer that wasted. So they are forging a weapon that they will use against you. Maybe it's the weapon of HIV that they want to target you with. Maybe it's the weapon of genotype, AS. You have been AA since. But now that your husband has come and that demon is hell-bent on you not settling down maritally, it will fire AS into your body. The demon has no right over your spirit, but it can manipulate this body, because this body is under subjection to the law of sin and death. That's why as a child of God, what you do by the life of the Spirit in you is to exercise dominion, superimpose your dominion over this flesh. It's like countering authority. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you ready to pray? Fires AS. And then four labs that you go, all of them are saying AS. They will always say AS because machines cannot pick what is spiritual. Makuria kaska branda lagaba. Somebody will go to the hospital and they say you are fine, but the person is dying. Machine does not see spirit. It is the law of the spirit of life. It's from that place that you will need to counter it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So just in case you came here and somehow the devil is fashioning a weapon of affliction against you, my assignment in this service is that we will cancel and crush it before it stands. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why the Bible says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. This is how life in the spirit is. Prayer becomes powerful. I hope you know, even unbelievers pray. That's why the Bible says the prayer of a sinner is an abomination unto unbelievers. They pray, but it's the prayer of a sinner. But the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The prayer of a sinner is dead. God does not hear it. Isaiah 59 verse 1. My hands are not short to deliver you. My ears are not deaf to hear you. He said, but your sin and your iniquity has separated. If that nature of sin in you built a brick wall, that even God that hears everything can no longer hear your prayer. Why? Because you are praying as a sinner. But when you become a child of God and you are born again, that you come alive in God. And because of that, everything around you carries the life of God. Your prayer now carries life. You know what it means for your prayer to carry life? It means that your prayers are intelligent in themselves. Your prayers are forces. You can send them. They have intelligence. You can program them to go to September. And they will screen through the month of September while you are in March to counter every onslaught of the enemy. So that when you enter September and the enemy wants to strike, your prayer will withstand him. Yes, so that's how powerful it is. Jesus said, Satan has desired to have you, that he will sift you as a wheat. But what stopped it is, I prayed for you. So in the day that Peter denied Jesus, what stopped him from becoming like Judas or entering the faith of Judas was that the prayer, we don't know when Jesus prayed, but the prayer had intelligence. The prayer had life because it was coming from a man that had the spirit of life in him. The prayers went to Peter in that season and made Peter turn to God for repentance. Otherwise, Peter would have hanged himself like Judas because they both did the same thing. One betrayed, the other one denied. Is it not the same thing? Denial is potential betrayal. So as a man that lives according to the Spirit, everything about you carries the life of the Spirit. Everything about you carries power in it. Your words become powerful. I'm telling you the truth. Don't be surprised where you are. You brought yourself here. One way or the other. One way or the other. One way or the other. Some of us are in Christ Jesus, but we operate with inferior mentality. There's always negativity in our mind. And your tongue is always saying what is there. Let me tell you something. Even when your mind is betraying you and thinking inferior, use your words to counter it. If your man is saying that this back pain give me one terrible sickness. I remember we came back from Yola and I was having this terrible back pain. And my mind told me that is sclerosis. Is that what you call it? Spondylosis. My mind told me spondylosis. Then in my mind, I started seeing my bad bone. Yeah, tilted. And you will not believe it that I started walking like that. I said, am I going to live with spondylosis? Then I remember the scripture. He kept all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Do you know what? When I went to the doctor laughed at me after examination. They say, Apostle, you know too much. That's why. There's nothing spondylosis in your body. You are as healthy as a horse. But Apostle was thinking spondylosis. The next time your mind is trying to betray you, use your words to counter it. When your mind says you are sick, say, I am well. I am strong. When your mind says you are weak, say, I am strong. When your mind says you are broke, say, this is the best days of my life. Even when you don't know God is about to do a miracle, say, I know before the end of today, something is about to happen for me. As I hear you say, so will I do. Sometimes if God is not talking about an issue, it's because he gave you mouth to speak about it. And the Lord was walking with them, confirming the word with signs. Are you ready to pray? There's a lot I can talk about this thing, but I think I should just stop here to pray. Listen, I prepared, there are teachings a lot for us to talk about, but God put this in my heart since Monday, that I should just come and share about this. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free, has exempted me from that family pattern, has delivered me. They can all cry that they are part of it, but me, has set me free. My own is different. You carry that mindset with a powerful confession base and a prayer life that is as aggressive as possible. And then your family looks at you and begin to see your life going another way different from their own. All of them are in minus. Your own is going to plus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You must not look like where you come from. Look like what you confess. Look like what you declare. Look like what Jesus says about you. Take the word of God, the promises of God, and stand on it and insist that it must happen. Take the prophecies that have been given to you and war with them. Listen, let me tell you, if God has said a thing, he will bring it to pass. God does not need your help to bring it to pass. He needs your faith. He needs your faith. He needs your faith. He needs your faith. I remember in January, I prayed with somebody. His wife was 7 months pregnant by that time. The enemy tried to destroy the child. Prayed with him and gave him a prophetic word. prayed with the wife, gave the same. He shared with me that when the wife entered labor room, much later the wife started saying they should come and do operation. Then later his wife, the nurses came and say, come and talk to your wife. Now you know they don't allow anybody to enter. When he entered, his wife was saying, I want to die. I want to die. And truly, her eyes had become white. Her mouth was, her lips were white. The eyes had rolled over. Life was leaving her. He said he held her. He said, don't say that anymore. Look at me. She looked at him. He said, say my strength is renewed as the eagles. Long story short, after that, she gave birth in 30 minutes. Somebody would have died there. That's why, let me add this one. Ladies, make sure you are marrying a spiritual man. Yes. Because you know your faith will fail. You know. Sometimes I wonder whether women have faith. I don't know. I didn't say women don't have faith. You didn't hear me. But I wonder if women have faith. Any woman that has faith should come and show me her faith by her works. You just pray with them now, vibrating in tongues. 1 hour later, when the landlord called, honey, what will we go do now? Are you asking me what we will do about this? We just prayed and God said it is settled. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at his wife was dying. He was there alone. The nurses, everybody had given up. He would have just simply confessed what he saw. But he remembered the prophetic word. It was as powerful in that day of adversity as when it was spoken. And you know what? Please don't be offended, but with all due respect, these are people who are far from me. They don't get to see me always. But they can take what I say, record it, pray with it and listen to it. And in the day of battle, they use it to enter victory. You are here, you are seeing me every week, every day. You will still call me when you are in crisis. Yesterday I prayed for you and told you you shall be well. Today, when the landlord knocked, you are still calling me. So I'm wondering whether it's the people who are far, who should stress who more? Is it not those who are far, but those who are near are stressing more? So if somebody can power their faith to bring somebody from the dead by a prophetic word recorded on phone, you have the mouth in front of you that says your business will not die. That says God will open the door even when the door has been shut. Why? Because he has the key of David to open. Are you ready to pray? Stand on your feet. And you are glorious. So glorious. You are glorious. So glorious. You are glorious. So glorious in your name. And you are glorious. So glorious. You are glorious. Hey, katala baya dala da baya dana. So glorious in your name. Hear me. We are going to pray against every attack of the enemy targeted around your life. Let me share one testimony with you. And please, when you see me share testimonies with you, every time you hear a testimony from me that God walked through me, just rejoice, because if God can walk through me, he can do more with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, I gave a woman a prophetic word ending 2022. She had just one child. They had stayed for years, no child. She keeps having miscarriage. I said, God is going to give you a son and this is going to be the name. Amen. She became pregnant towards the end of the next year. After a while, miscarriage. I was pained. She was pained. But I told her, don't worry. In the kingdom, there are no losses. It will return. Restoration. She became pregnant again. All manner of crisis started. Somewhere around the 4th or 5th month or so, got a call. And she told me she's bleeding. She said, she called, I didn't pick. She sent a text that she's bleeding. Doctor, when a woman is bleeding around 5 months, my mind told me it is gone. Pray for another one. You know what I did? Because I knew I was not in the right state of faith. I sent a text. I said, your baby is preserved. But my mind was saying the baby is gone. Somebody sent you a text that I am bleeding non-stop. Can I tell you something? Her EDD is in April. When they went for scan, guess what was inside? Boy. But she bled at 5 months. Listen, don't say what you see. No. Declare according to the intelligence of the life that is inside of you. Even when they are shutting the door, say the door is opening for me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Even with all the threats that she received. Imagine when somebody will call you and ask you, are you still pregnant? Say yes. And they are not talking to you again. Imagine when somebody will say, let me see whether she will give birth. She go see you. She go see where. Nami de ye. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That I can talk to you about the testimonies again and again, but I did this to just wake your faith today. Because we are going to pray and set some things in order. I want you, if you can, in the next 2 minutes to just open your mouth and begin to pray in the spirit. As you pray in the spirit, you are building faith. You are activating faith inside of you. You are activating faith inside of you. Something is about to shift. Praying in the spirit means you are stirring up energy inside of you. It means you are activating the faith of power, of spiritual power on your inside. Nahum chapter 1 verse 9. This prayer you are going to pray, for some of you is for now, but for some of you is ahead. You are about to forestall some satanic onslaughts. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Death will not tell you that it is coming for you next week. It will just knock any time. You need to surround your life with prayers in advance to forestall. The Bible says, put on the armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Don't wear it in the evil day. Put it on now. Are you ready to pray? He said, what do you conspire against the Lord? He will make an utter end of it. Affliction will not rise up a second time. First prayer point from that scripture. Any satanic conspiracy around my life, around my destiny, by the authority in the name of Jesus, I cancel it tonight. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray.
Please hear me. I want you to pray. Oh, I want you to pray very well this evening. The Bible says, what do you conspire against the Lord? Hear me. It says, he shall make an utter end of it. Affliction will not rise the second time. Listen to this. Listen. There are some of you here that you are now conversant with a kind of attack on your life. When you check very well, it is when certain things are about to happen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody sent me pictures. Finally got a girl to marry. They went, did their love thing and proposal and all of that. Ladies, you like it, ba? So he sent me the pictures of the proposal. Very beautiful, everything. Ring on her finger and all of that. They snapped the pre-wedding pictures. They did the invitation card. He sent me that Monday, Tuesday. Saturday in the morning, they called him that his wife-to-be slumped. But for God, that girl would have gone that day. Twice on the phone, I had to put the phone and start praying. Monday, Saturday. This prayer you're about to pray now is against certain afflictions that keep rising again and again. There are families here that when it is time for marriage, finances are dry. There are some young men here. What is stopping you from getting married is your finances. Anytime you see a serious girl, that's when you don't have money. There are some young men, the moment you engage somebody to get married, you lose your job. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Afflictions that rise again. Cycles. Cycles. Some of you, anytime you are about to switch jobs, it will be like hell will break loose. It's as if there is a demon somewhere that has programmed that you will remain in that position forever. Some of you have been in one spot for 5 years. Are you ready to pray this night? Listen, this is not a miracle service, but God just opened this window for somebody here. Don't just walk around with as if you are putting on a pancake or cosmetic. No, pray. Jesus said, pray lest you fall into temptation. Some of you need to pray now because in April is when the battle will come. But you can forestall it today. I want you to lift your voice. Every cycle of affliction around my life, around my family, around my destiny, be cancelled forever. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray.
Chapter 13, verse 10 to 12. One more prayer. Luke chapter 13, verse 10 to 12. Listen, remember when I was talking while the sermon was going on, and I said that one of the reasons for this discussion is so that when a believer is in Christ, that they truly experience the freedom that is promised them in scripture. That you can't be in Christ and still be under the onslaught of the enemy. So we want to enforce our redemptive rights. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Luke chapter 13 verse 10 to 12. Please, listen. I don't know if there's a lady here. Just bring it down a little bit. In your native name, I can't pronounce the name, but there is, in your native name, you are a lady, there is a letter Y and E. In your native name, there is a letter Y. It's not a long name, it's like maybe 5, 6, 7 or so letters. Y and E. I'm seeing those two prominent letters. It's your native name. You are a lady. It's your maiden name. And it's not a long name. It's like maybe 5, 6, 7 or so numbers. Where are you? You? What's the name? Spell the name. Wait. Let me say what I said again. Listen to me. I said you are a lady here. Your native name, your maiden name, has a letter Y and E. It is not a long name. In fact, I think there's an O in the name. It's about a 5, 6, or 7 letter name. I can't see it completely. And I can't pronounce it. It's your native name. Find out for me, please. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. I'm hearing a name, Evans. Evans. E-V-A-N-S. I don't know what that is. Evans. I don't know who that name is connected to. Evans. I heard that name when we started praying. Are you ready to pray? I said, are you ready to pray?
Yes,
you are not. You don't sound like you're ready to pray. Are you ready to pray?
Yes,
some yokes will break this night. Evans. 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 Lahamanaka sobria lahadanish. Membre teketo brusco to produsana. Le cabarada basia. Luke chapter 13. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. This is Kwenye. This is Elhira. This is Yukumi.
Huh?
Yukumi.
Huh? I said there is letter Y and E.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Y E K U M I.
Spell it. Let's hear. Put the mic very well.
Y E K U M I.
Y E K U M I. Clap for Jesus. How many letters is that?
Six, sir.
And I said it's like 5, 6, or 7. Clap for Jesus.
So we also have Tai and Olua. Olua Shi.
Sorry, I pray for all of you, but it's this lady that my heart is pointing me to. My dear, can you step forward? What do you do? What are you doing now?
I'm a student, sir.
You're a student?
Yes, sir.
Can I pray for you?
Yes, sir.
There's a hold that the enemy wants, that God wants to be broken of your life.
Sure.
Look at me. There are two things I'm going to pray against. I'm going to pray against a cycle of, it's a combination of struggle and failure.
For sure, sir.
Are you hearing what I'm
yes.
saying? And then also we need to break delay in marital settlement. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing me? Yeah. Hey, I'm looking at you. It's not, are you in a relationship now?
No, sir.
There was a boyfriend you had, taller than you. And he's taller than you. I'm seeing him walk away from your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That was a broken relationship. Some of you think we are acting drama. I'm going to pray now. How many of you are getting married this year, women? Answer me now. If not, we'll close this service and just go. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I just came back. I want to rest. So. Some of you want miracle service to be every day. Now God has brought it. See the way you are behaving. Malakara diaba. Zeko prata. God is doing something here. Hear me? Hear me? We are going to enforce our redemptive right. Listen. Listen. I said listen, please. You know why I asked that question? I'm seeing a wedding card come before me. Wait. No, it's not. It's a serious issue. It's not clap. It's good. But we need to deliver somebody now. Listen first before you begin to. Don't act in the flesh. Act in the spirit. Huh? Can I go ahead? Or let's just pray for these ones and go. God is showing me something. Let me describe what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a wedding card of somebody. And it's a lady. And the color I'm seeing, my dear, come with white scarf. Yes, you that turn back. You know, most times when you point people and they turn back, they're the one. I want the camera to focus on what she's wearing. Can you get another camera? Yes, come. I just use him for an illustration. Are you seeing? Can you see that? That color. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a wedding card or like a jacket of the card. That color. And it's a lady. I don't know if this card has been printed. But I want to pray for this lady because I saw an attack coming and God is using the card to fish the person out. And I've seen a few names inside that card. There's a name. Now, you see, I don't know whether I'm seeing into the future. I'm seeing what is happening now. But I've seen a name like Laddie in the card. It's one of the names written in the card. So this person, this is going to be a wedding that will happen this year. And this is the color God is showing me. God is showing me an attack of death that we need to cancel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Meduguri, my God. This is real time prophetical. You can go back, my dear. It's not you. I just needed the color. Something like that. You see that kind of, I don't know colors, but something around that. Marada Masha. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Your name is God. Please lift your hands. Emmanuel. 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 Mola kata la barra kita muski pariata. Your name. Roskete le barratiama. Deliverance has come. Step forward, my dear. Just hold my hand. Something will happen to you. That yoke will be broken. From today. From today. From today. I break the hold of the strong man. I break the hold of the strong man. I break the hold of the strong man. The moment I touched, I saw a huge muscular being standing in front of me. I break the hold. You look at that. I break the hold of the strong. You see, that's why, you see, wait, you see, that's why I talked about walking in the spirit. You see, when you look, when you are carnal about things, you will not know when God is moving. Some of you think we are still playing, we are still watching film. March 13th. March 13th. Who is connected to that date? March 13th. March 13th. Then I'm seeing September 13th. March 13th. Especially if it's a birthday. March 13th. Want to pray. Want to cancel some things tonight. Are you ready at all? I said, are you ready at all? Okay, I understand. Some of you are mesmerized. You are blown away. Amen. I was watching Dr. Kumi one time, and Dr. Kumi said before he was to go on stage in a crusade, he had running stomach. He had to go to the toilet, came back, went to the toilet, and he was about to, choir was already singing. Then he told them, he laughed. He said the body was having crisis, but the spirit was anointed. So my body may be tired, but my spirit is anointed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Even with the tiredness now, we can stay here till 9, prophesying. Are you hearing what I'm saying? March 13th. Want to pray, want to cancel some things. Before that Luke chapter 13, we are going to pray and cancel that. Are you ready to pray? We are going to pray and cancel that. We are going to pray, my God, my God, my God, my God, my God. My God. Do you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing somebody driving, matching the brake, and you know when you match a brake, it's strong. But I'm seeing the thing free, and the car is not stopping. We are going to pray. Oh. We are going to pray. If this is why I've been praying since last night till now, we are going to cancel it. Death will not tell you it is coming. The devil will not tell you he's planning you. It takes the Spirit of God to see it. He said, be careful when they say peace, peace, because it might be a time of war. But God is arising for somebody tonight. I said, God is arising for somebody tonight. March 13th. Huh?
It's March 13th.
Your who?
Younger brother.
Your younger brother is March
13th. Immediate younger brother.
Immediate younger brother.
Yes, sir.
He was born March 13th.
Yes, sir.
Is there any of you that is born March 13th here, apart from a relative or somebody? Huh? None of you? Please check for me 13th of September. What day does it fall? 13th of September this year. Oh God, how do I do this thing? I'm seeing many things at the same time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say after me in the name of Jesus. I cancel. Your what you are saying is weak. In the name of Jesus. I cancel every attack, every injunction, every transaction, every decree, every curse of death in my life, in my family, and around me in this year, I cancel it in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray for 2 minutes. Name we pray. Say after me in the name of Jesus. I cancel every plot to cause accidents around my life, my family, and my loved ones, whether home accidents, domestic accidents, road accidents, industrial accidents. In this season, I cancel in the name of Jesus. It is canceled. It is canceled. It is canceled. It is canceled. In Jesus' name we pray. Yes, sir. You said your younger brother is
immediate 13. Younger brother is 13th March. His cousin brother, his nephew, sorry, is 13th March. A younger brother too is 13th March. This one's the name
okay.
Is Y.
Okay, just three of you.
Yes, just three of
you. Do you notice that the three people they are standing for are all male? Who? Younger brother.
Yes, sir.
Who? Nephew. Who? Brother. All. Same date. Three of you hold your hands. I stretch my hands as a priest of God. Any arrow that was sent from hell, I deflect it to return back to where it came from. I deflect it back to where it came from. We declare that their lives are preserved. In the name of Jesus Christ. Return back to your seat. Clap your hands and give Jesus praise. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus have set me free from the law of sin and death. I want to pray a prayer of deliverance now. There are families where you have satanic patterns. That means it has happened in one generation to the other generation. Patterns of sickness, patterns of delay, patterns of poverty, patterns of crisis and quarrel, patterns of struggle, of failure, near success syndrome. I want to curse it now. Can you lift up your right hand, everybody? Just lift up your right hand, close your eyes and be still. Under this calm atmosphere, I stretch my hands in the name of Jesus. Father, anyone here who is in a family that is under the oppression of satanic patterns, evil events occurring from one generation to the other, I stand today by the blood of the Lamb and by the authority in the name of Jesus, I command their deliverance. When you say that amen the third time, the power of God will break out. I command their deliverance. Let the chains of darkness be broken. Let the oppression of the enemy spirit in the bloodline initiating satanic and demonic patterns. Tonight we command their deliverance in the name of Jesus. It's alright, just stop. Close your eyes, lift your hands. The hand of God will come on those people now. There will be deliverance. Huh? Just softly, just soft. The hand of God will come on them and fish them out. Let that transgenerational pattern come to an end. Let the reproach be over. In the name of Jesus Christ. Shh. Let it be over. Let it be over. Let it be over. Just bring them for me. Let it be over. Let it be over. I curse that spirit. I curse that spirit. Right now. I curse that ancestral spirit. I break your hold over that family. I break your hold over that family. Loose them. Bring them for me. Bring them. Loose them in the name of Jesus. You must go. There's somebody that will feel like vomiting. Command those devils to leave. Just soft, soft, okay? Just soft. I command those devils to leave. There's a shout. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Bring them, bring them, bring them. Bring them, bring them. Bring that lady with blue scarf. Bring them. Bring them. Please close your eyes. Allow me to minister. Huh? Please. I see the hand of God heavy on a family. And I see a young man here. The time for the emancipation on that family has come. The hand of God will be heavy on that young man. Wherever you are, let the hold bring them. Bring them. Bring them. Bring them. Bring them. Bring them. Bring her. Bring this one. Listen, let her come. You'll see drama now. You must go. You must go. Go! Break! Set them free. By fire. Set them free. Set them free. Let the chains be broken. Let the chains be broken. I release the fire of God into this home, into this life. Let the fire for deliverance begin to descend. She'll be free, don't worry. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure in worshiping. I take pleasure. There's somebody that would start throwing up. You feel like you want to throw up. The hand of God will come on you. You'll go down under the power. You feel like you want to throw up. Don't feel reproached. Don't feel ashamed. Okay, it's deliverance. It's deliverance. Bring the person for me. They'll feel like they want to throw up. Now I declare by divine authority, every spirit that is not of God that is in this place, I chain you hands and foot. I command you to leave. By the authority in the name of Jesus. When you get that person trying to vomit, bring them for me. We are heirs of the Father. We are joined heads with the Son. We are children of the kingdom.
are family. We are one.
Now, that's not a love song. That's a song that talks about your redemptive right as a child of God. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I sang that song to invoke something. Please lift your right hand. In the name of Jesus Christ. Don't say amen. Just allow me to minister. Any lady here, please close your eyes, please. I'm praying against marital delay. Any lady here that is under the spell of marital delay, whether it is a spiritual husband, wicked marine spirits, ancestral spirits that will not let you go, whatever seems to be the reason, don't say amen. Just allow me to minister. I demand your deliverance now. I release the fire of God into the atmosphere. Any woman that is here, that is under the spell of marital delay, that is under the spell of barrenness, I release you by the fire of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus Christ. Bring them. Bring them. God is working. Just close your eyes, please. Just cooperate with the Spirit, okay? Don't be distracted. You need to, so that you are not distracted. Let the yoke of delay be broken. Let the yoke of delay be broken. Let the yoke of delay be broken. To my left hand side, let the yoke of marital delay be broken. Let it be broken. Let the spell and the enchantment of the enemy break loose. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak by extension, delay in business breakthrough, delay in academic breakthrough, in any aspect of your life. When I make mention of the name of Jesus, I want you to shout amen on top of your voice. Every aspect of your life experiencing delay, by the authority in the name of Jesus Christ and in this place, I declare that spell of delay is broken now. Bring them. That spell of delay is broken now. Bring them out. Bring them out. That spell of delay is broken now. In the name of Jesus. Bring them out for me. Wave your hands and give Jesus praise. Blessed be your name, Father. Blessed be your name, Father. Thank you, Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in what I call sing again. Are you excited tonight? There's one more thing I want to do. I want to release an impartation before we go. Huh? Yesterday was Women's Day. So, there's a demon here that needs to go. I can cast it out, but I won't. I want a woman to come and volunteer to cast out this demon. Otherwise, I'll seize all your phones. Any woman that cannot cast out this demon, that means all of you are just busy being carnal. When you volunteer yourself, you come, we'll send you with an usher and the person who cast it out. Are we blessed? I hope I'm not outside the Bible though. For those of you who are not used to this kind of service, I'm sorry, okay? It doesn't look like your church, but we are still together. Let a woman come and see, you see her, the demon is still there, but one lady boldly come. I've taught you about authority. I've taught you everything. Come and practicalize it. We'll take you. No, it will not be here. You'll go somewhere and you cast. One woman come and cast this devil out. If no woman can come, then we'll look for a boy. You came out to cast. Who else came? Esther, are you coming or you are on your way? Okay, you are coming. All right, clap for them. I love their boldness. Sorry, ladies, you just now remember how carnal you have been. Eh? And you are praying for a handsome man, a rich man that has money, filled with the Holy Ghost. You, what do you have? What a man can do, a woman can. Come and do it now. I know you never saw this day coming, huh? Alright. Okay, praise. Carry this lady. Praise, accompany them. Go and cast out the devil from that lady and bring her back. Amen. Where is she? Where is praise? Okay, and come. Let me empower you a little bit in addition to your own. Alright? So you go and operate by authority, okay? You tell that spirit to leave. It has no right to be there, huh? She has been redeemed by the blood. So tell him that he has a court order to vacate now. Oh yeah, carry. Ushers, where are you? Protocol or somebody. Carry her. Carry the lady. Go and conduct the deliverance. Hallelujah. Amen. The rest can go back to their seat. All of you, where do you come for? Huh?
And
why and E.
Yes.
All right. Father, I stretch my hands and I declare by mercy, preservation. In the name of Jesus. Please lift your hands. Are you blessed so far? Father, we give you praise and we thank you. Wave your hands and celebrate you. Thank you, Jesus. Hear me? The Bible says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. When the Holy Ghost comes into you, he activates the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. That means a life in Christ Jesus must be lived according to the Spirit. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to empower you today, quicken you, and ignite fire inside of you. Please put your right hand on your chest. Father, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I ask here, according to the desires of your children and according to the workings of the Spirit, let spiritual gifts be activated now. Okay, you will say one more amen and that will be the end. Let spiritual gifts be activated now. Anyone that needs to walk in the healing anointing, no more amen. I activate it. I activate it. Anyone here that has the gift of the workings of miracles, that through your hands God will wrought signs and wonders, I empower you by the Spirit. From today, let spiritual gifts come alive. Let the miraculous come alive. You walk in signs and wonders. Malaka patalagabias. Membres ketebere diama. Shada brate kutubozoi. How many of you want the prophetic? Lift your hands if you want the prophetic. Now, even if you have it, it will go to another level. Wait. Let me share something with you. Yeah, this. This morning I was praying for a couple. A military officer and his wife. And I told them I was going to activate the prophetic over them. Their son was there. I think he's about 5 years or so. 4 or 5 years or so. When I prayed, when we finished, the boy was still kneeling down. We brought the boy up. This is about 5 years or so boy. He was watching cartoon before we prayed. When we brought him up, he was crying. I asked him, I said, did you see? He was speaking in tongues. I asked him, I said, did you see any vision? He said, yes. 5 years. The woman there, instantly her eyes opened. She said that she saw while we were still sitting down, she said she saw angels standing around me. I said, yes, so that they follow me everywhere. I want to pray that God will open some people's eyes like that. You want the prophetic, lift your hands. I stretch my hands to you. Let that grace be amplified. No more amen now. Let eyes be open to see. I give you by the Spirit the gift of sight. Uncommon visions. I'm praying for the brothers as well. All the brothers that desire the prophetic with a genuine heart. Take it in the name of Jesus. Take it. Help that brother. Ah, yeah. Take it. I stir it up. I amplify it. I amplify it. Your ears are open to hear. Your eyes are open to see. The grace of God is upon you today. And the heavens are open over you like Ezekiel. He said, when I was at the river Kebar, he said, the heavens opened and I saw the visions of God. Let the heavens be open over you now. From today, you will have uncommon visions, uncommon understanding in the spirit. Your hearing will be sharp as that of Elisha. Listen to me, let me pray this one. I'm still activating the prophetic. From today, you'll begin to hear in the spirit. And if you want this one, say amen to it when I finish declaring it. You'll be so sharp in hearing in the spirit that when people are conspiring against you, you will hear them while they are still planning. If you enter a place and they were gossiping, whether about you or anybody, even if you didn't meet them talking, you will hear what they were saying 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago, 1 hour ago. Those four guys there, behind Rita, those four guys there, come, four of you. I see something very strong that I want to rest upon you. Please, just come. Four of you. You want the fire? Step forward. Step forward, the four of you. Hold your hands and lift it up. God is going to anoint you strangely. Now, Father, I stretch my hands towards them. Breathe upon them. Let your hand be heavy upon them. Let there be activation of graces. Right now, it comes upon you in a mighty way and you will not be able to recover from it. Touch! Let it go like fire. All true. In the name of Jesus. I think I need to calm down. Huh? And give him praise. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank him for 1 minute. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hear me. When you go from today, you'll begin to walk in the spirit. God will give you an uncanny ability to hear and to see and to know and to understand in the spirit. From today, you will see the fruit and the benefit of what it means to be led by the spirit. May God use your being able to be led to bring deliverance to people around you. In the name of Jesus. And anyone believing God for a job opportunity here in this service, we call it done. You will return back with testimony. Upon this declaration, testimonies will begin from next Sunday. There will be miracle jobs. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the supply of your spirit. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Are you blessed? Before we go, let me give an opportunity for somebody to make Jesus their Lord and Savior. Please be upstanding everywhere. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. If you want to be free of condemnation, guilt, the bondage of sin, you want to know that you are accepted before God. You want to receive His Spirit and walk according to His ways. Please, everybody standing. I want to give you an opportunity to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Inviting Jesus into your life and receiving the life of Christ into your heart is the greatest thing that can happen to you. There is no change as good as that. I want you, wherever you are standing, if you want to be amongst this category, or you are saying that I'm not too serious with God and I really want to be serious from today. Maybe you have been in Christ, but you've been walking according to the flesh. And now you want to rededicate your life to Him and live under submission to the Holy Spirit. Or you are struggling with some addictions and you want to experience freedom. Pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I receive your life into my heart. And I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and my salvation. I declare from today that you are my Lord and Master, now and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you pray that prayer, you are now born again. And there is no condemnation against you. I want you, wherever you are, to lift your hands if you've made that prayer with me. I want to pray for you and ask that the hand of God will be upon you from today henceforth. If you pray that prayer, please raise your right hand. Let me see you. Please, wherever you are, God bless you. 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 Keep it lifted. God bless you. God bless you. While your right hand is raised up, please run to the front now. Let's give them a big, big, big applause. for the souls that are being won. Please come. He has given you a brand new life.
You gave your life to me that I might be saved, yeah. You saved my destiny with the awesome price you paid. Now I can say all things.
Keep coming if you made that prayer with us.
I've been changed. It's true, it's true. All things are new. Same, it changed me. It's sweet. I'll never.
Are you seeing the number of souls today?
It changed me. I'll never,
never be the same.
Because he changed me.
It changed me.
I'll never,
never
be the same.
It changed.
Stretch your hands towards them. Now, look at this. You see the way I was preaching as if go, no, go, go. But look at the number of souls. See, this thing is spiritual. It's not physical. Are you hearing me? Now, see, if you come and imitate and preach like me, and you are not backed up with the Spirit, even the mic will go off. Amen. Are we excited tonight? Stretch your hands for them and pray. All of you in front, please lift your right hand to heaven. Oh, your lives have changed from today. Lift your right hand to heaven. Father, I declare over these ones, you sent your son Jesus to die for them. And therefore, their sins are forgiven. We declare them born again. From today, by the confession of their mouth, they are saved and they receive the life of Jesus in them. I declare from today no condemnation over their lives. Anything that they are struggling with is broken off their life. I break every force that contends with them right now. I command those spirits to let them go now. In the name of Jesus. See deliverance happening here. I arrest the power of cultism, hooliganism, addictions of any kind. I declare that you are free from it. I break the power of witchcraft. I break the power of satanic oppression. I break the power of sickness. I set you free now. Every reproach over your life is rolled away. And Father, as their hands are lifted up, I declare that they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. With the evidence of speaking in tongues, all of them will receive it right now. They will speak in tongues. They will grow to know you. And they will walk in their victory over sin. The power of God is on these two ladies. From today, forward ever, backward never. It is well with you. I plant in you an undying passion for God. May the fire of God consume you completely. May God birth among you ministers and great men and women. It's a new day for you. And from today, as you return back, I empower you by the Spirit to go and break the hold of darkness over your family. The things that have held those around you, from today, you will go and bring freedom and liberation to them. In the name of Jesus Christ. It is well with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Look at me with your hands down. Your lives have changed from today. The Spirit of God is now in you because you are born again. From this point on, you are assured of a life of victory. Even you will know as you live here today, you will feel something inside of you that gives you confidence. From today, when you approach God, you will go with boldness because he's your father. There are two things you will do for me. Number one, because I want you to know God and grow more and be consumed with God so the devil doesn't have a place in your life. Please come back next Sunday so that you can hear the word and grow in the knowledge of God. I hope to see you, and I know you will bring your friends with you. Number two, I will hand you over to our counselors. They will talk with you, have a word with you before you go. God bless you, and it is well with you from today. Where is the counselor? Turn behind you. That lady waving her hand, just walk in a single file towards her. She will lead you to our officers. Let's clap for them as they go. Hallelujah.
If you've been blessed or inspired by this message, you can connect with us by liking our Facebook page and subscribing to our YouTube channel at Sons of Glory Network International.